Thanks for joining us for this message from Shades Valley Community Church in Homewood, Alabama. We pray that you are blessed by it. If you'd like to know more about Shades Valley and its ministries, you can visit us at shadesvalley.org.
Father, for those of us with sight, it's so hard to believe. Because we see the trouble that comes and surrounds us. It plagues our world. And it's hard. It's hard to believe that there is a gospel, good news. May we see tonight just a little bit more clearly how you entered into the midst of the trouble, the darkness, the death, and you took all of it upon yourself. Our sin, our darkness, the death that all of it deserved, you took it, bore it in your flesh, in our place for us, and you defeated it that we might truly have life. Help us to see that life, that light, even in the midst of the darkness we find ourselves in. We pray these things in the name of your Son, Jesus, by your Spirit. Amen. Trouble gonna come like a heart attack, like a locust swarm, turn the sun to black. Those opening lyrics of that song that we just heard, it's gotta be a little bit of how it felt that Friday. Like when the sun went dark in the middle of the day, I mean, it had to feel like a locust swarm blotting out all of the light. And I don't know if you've ever watched a nature documentary that talks about locust swarms, but everywhere they go, they bring death. They consume absolutely everything in their path. Death, darkness. That had to be what it felt like as Christ, who literally is the life and the light, as he was swallowed up in death and in darkness. I wonder, like, can you see the scene? In your mind, can you picture that Good Friday scene? Tonight, we've primarily been reading from the Gospel of John. And John chapter 19 literally takes us by the hand and leads us through the scene of the crucifixion so that we can see every little thing that's happened. Verse 17, we're told that the very place in which the crucifixion happens is a hill that resembles somehow a skull. Verse 18 turns our eyes to two thieves dying on either side of Christ. Verse 19 directs our gaze to a sign Pilate had hung above Jesus' head that read, "Jesus of Nazareth, King of the Jews." Like, are you starting to see the scene? 21 shows us chief priests standing around complaining about the wording of the sign, while verse 23 directs our gaze down to the ground where we see soldiers gamble for the clothes of Christ. Can you see the scene? Like, if you're familiar with this story at all, or even if you've only heard it one time, then all of the elements that I've just described, they're probably things that feel a little bit familiar. They're things we're used to picturing when we picture this scene. However, I do think that there is at least one thing that we often fail to see. One thing that I've left out of the description so far because it's the one thing that John leaves to describe last. Like, it's easy to see all the things that he's described so far. All of the things he's described so far point to darkness and death. And amidst this horrific scene, that's often all we see. But we fail to see those who are there who actually believed in Christ, who are there still trying to cling to him as the light and the life. Verse 25, John says, "But standing by the cross." In other words, I'm about to describe something that contrasts with everything I've described thus far. Everything that's pointing to death, and whether it's the very shape of the hill, thieves, dying, a sign, underneath that declares the sentence for which Christ is dying, complaining, chief priests, soldiers gambling for clothes, all of these things. Here comes something that's different, or better yet, here comes someone or some ones who are different. Not darkness and death, but some ones who are clinging to light and life. John says, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. Huddled somewhere between chief priests hurling insults and guards gambling for clothes are these women who had faithfully followed Christ. Like, do you think they could believe the scene that they were seeing unfold in front of them? Like, as darkness surrounded them and they were swallowed up by death. Like, what do you think they felt in their chest? Trouble gonna come. Like a heart attack. Like a locust swarm, turn the sun to black, and all the things I knew, I don't know no more. That had to be something like what was going through their head. Everything we thought we knew about this man, about who he is, about what he's supposed to do. I don't feel like I know anything anymore. This had to be something like what was going on in their mind, like what they were feeling, a pain, like a heart attack in their chest. If for nobody else, it at least had to feel like this for the last lady that John mentioned, Mary Magdalene. Do you know her story? Like, Scripture doesn't tell us much of her story, but what little bit it gives us is significant. Luke chapter 8 gives us a hint at why she probably started following Christ in the first place. It introduces us to her as Mary Magdalene, from whom 7 demons had gone out. Imagine, like, Mary Magdalene had known a life of darkness and death, literally a life tormented by demonic activity. And then came Christ, who with a word brought light and life. Like, everything changed for her in an instant. She had to know things, they will never be the same. But then the longer that she walked with Jesus, the more things began to change. The more he spoke of things like suffering and death and pain, the more the crowds began to drift away. Until that night, when he was betrayed, and by the middle of the next day, it would be dark as midnight, and she would find herself standing at the foot of his execution stake. Back in the place of darkness and death. Had to feel like back in the place where she began, the very place which she had been saved from. And I wonder if you've ever felt like your story is the same. Like, what did it look like when Christ entered your life? Were death and darkness dispelled? Your world filled with light and life? Did everything change in an instant? You knew things would never be the same? But then the longer you walk with Jesus, the more things have begun to change. Because you've experienced suffering, death, pain. You've seen people drift away from the faith. You've felt the heartache of being betrayed. Like, do we sometimes not feel the same as Mary Magdalene in the midst of this crucifixion scene? Do we not sometimes feel like all the things I thought I knew about Jesus and following, like, I don't know anymore? Because things look the same to me as they looked to Mary Magdalene that Friday. It looks like Jesus is failing. Jesus, I have felt that way. I feel that way. Because this world that we live in so often feels like Good Friday. But But the good news of the gospel is that even, Shades, even when we feel the same as Mary, we can see right now from our perspective what she could not on that Friday. Namely, we can see that this scene, it's not the finale. I want to say to Mary on that evening, I want to say, Mary, I know you're standing at the foot of a cross on this Friday, but on Sunday, you will stand at the doorway of an empty tomb. And the Christ that you saw crucified will call you by name to prove that he's alive. Shades, that's a reality we can see looking back on the story of Mary, but often it's a reality we fail to see right now in our own lives when it feels like we are living in the midst of a Good Friday scene. When it feels like Jesus has failed or is failing, we need to see the reality that that is not the finale. A final day will dawn for us when what was previewed on Easter morning will be brought to full completion. Jesus' death and resurrection, it was just a preview of the fact that one day he will reverse all death, all darkness, bring full and complete life and light. Resurrection will win. Resurrection will be the resurrection is the finale. That's what we see when we look back at Good Friday and Easter Sunday. And it stirs up our faith. It stirs up our faith while we live in the midst of a Good Friday-like scene. It stirs up our faith that an Easter full finale is coming. Shades. Reality. Trying to come. For Mary Magdalene. For you. For me. But do you know who else is coming? Our King. And trouble happens to be his speciality. He will swallow up death and darkness with life and light. Can you see that scene? That's what empowers us to live right here in the midst of what feels like a lifelong Good Friday. We're empowered to cling to Christ in the midst of that because we can see the scene that's coming. Let's pray. Father, I am grateful. I am grateful for the cross. For in it we see that you not only bore our sin to give us life, you not only took our death to give us life, but in it we see a preview of what you will do with all the darkness we experience in life. Father, I pray that the reality of your cross, which is empty, and your tomb, which is empty, I pray that that reality will keep us clinging to you, even when it feels like we're doing life in Good Friday. Empower us to live for you, knowing that what Easter began, the completion of it is coming. Easter will have its final effect. May that keep us clinging to you. Amen.
Now go into the world in peace. Have courage. Hold on to what is good. Honor all men, strengthen the faint-hearted, support the weak, help the suffering, and share the gospel. Love and serve the Lord in the power of the Holy Spirit, and may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with us all. Amen.